There's no better way to spend a rainy day in Washington than cuddled up to good fuzzy data, right? And that's what we're here to do today. And I'm very, very lucky because I'm a biological sciences data person, and I'm bookended by all these terrific human subjects people. So I have a slightly different view of the world than they do. I'm with a group called Data One, which is a funded project by NSF, and we are in our fourth year at this moment. What we do in looking at data is to think about how we're going to access it. We start at the very beginning and think about the whole picture. And we really think it starts with community. In our case, our primary community are the scientists and how they will need to find data and where they need to put data. Then we think about what are we going to build around that to make that happen, and we build a cyber infrastructure. And then we talk about the tools to come in. Now, while our primary community are the scientists, we look at the whole stakeholder community, and that includes librarians, libraries, it includes decision makers at all different levels of government, land managers, etc. When we talk about community, we had to think about how we were going to design this system. And we said, well, what does the community want? Well, what they want is to enable science. They want these tools to make it easier for them to do their work. And as we move to data-intensive science, where you're looking for databases to bring together and look at problems in a new way by integration of a lot of different data types, what do you need to do this? And so we thought the two major items we have to think about is whatever we build needs to be sustainable in every way you can mean that word, technologically sustainable, management sustainable, all those different things, because sustainability refers to a lot of different things, and it needs to be interoperable, because we don't want to change how people are already doing science. We want to help scientists do what they do and link it together in a better way. So we thought about all these different ways it has to do. We need to be able to make the data usable to people in terms of being able to find it. We need to be able to have something that's resilient, that no matter how systems change, it can live with it. It needs to be adaptive in that it itself can change, scalable, inclusive of all the different communities. And in the earth sciences, there are a lot of communities collecting data. And we have to think about the sociological drivers. And we've been hearing that all afternoon. We have to think about how people are doing this. It isn't just about the data. It's about, do people want to share data? How do people think about finding data? How do they look for data outside their own domain? And we want to make sure everything we do is informed by prior research as well. And so we came up with this infrastructure that I'll kind of talk about briefly. We have coordinating nodes. Currently there are three, and you'll see there in the bottom. And they're situated, and the jobs that they're doing, I've listed here so we can see, and I have 15 minutes, so I'm not going to go through each of the items on there. But the key thing for data is they do indexing for searches and maintains a complete metadata catalog. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. We then have member nodes. Now, all the red member nodes are nodes that are already on board, and where you see the light blue ones, those are ones that are in the process of coming on board with us at this point. It's a very diverse set of institutions. They're serving a lot of different communities in terms of different communities that are involved in collecting data, observational data about Earth. What they do is they retain copies of the data. They also create their own guidelines for how their relationship with their data providers. And then we have a toolkit. And the toolkit is what's about how people will help access data. The title of this section, this whole afternoon, is Finding a Needle in a Haystack. Well, Earth environmental scientists not only have to find a needle in a haystack, they have to think about haystacks they can't see in fields that are over the hill. And what we want to do is help them find all these different fields. If you look at all the different places that we have member nodes coming on, we're gathering data from all over the world. And that is that the Earth is one large system, and we need to be able to do that. What we want to do is think about tools that operate across the whole life cycle of data. And while I'm going to be talking primarily about discovery, this kind of demonstrates that you can't think about discovery without thinking about everything that's happening in the life cycle. If the data is not well planned at the beginning, and as we heard about already for the autism data, it's very important for things to have to be brought together in a way that can, when they're retrieved, you get everything. So you need to think about all these different steps. Some of these are tools that Data One has been partaking in developing. Others are ones that were developed outside, and we are now bringing them into our system and finding ways for us to hook up with them because they're already in use. Adapting tools to our services is one of the major things that we feel is going on, because we don't want to change how people are doing work. And in terms of how they're accessing data, we want to already be working within their work system. Having that concept of the sociological side, how people do science, how they're going to look for things, how they're going to find things, is essential in building the tools and having them use it. One example of how Data One works is, for example, the Information Center for the Environment at UC Davis. They are already collecting data. They already have in the blue box the users that they're interacting with, and that's through the University of California Curation Center. As Merit became a member node, that hooked them up to all the different services that are related in Data One, which exposed the data that ICE collected to a much broader group of people who are other Data One users who might not have found this data set before. These data sets were now exposed. You'll notice the haystack theme for coming through here. In enabling data discovery, what we want to do is build good searches for users that make it easy. People will only do things well if it's easy. And we know that metadata is quality is a key enabler to make this happen. Well, and although scaling for the search is difficult, that's what we're working on now. So you see these different ways. Icons about the three different parts of our infrastructure and how they relate to the search. So for the ITK, which is the Investigator's Toolkit, we access the search API. We have we're promoting quality metadata and enabling search refinement. And then you'll see where the metadata continues to be a major component of how the member nodes and the coordinating nodes interact. These are our 10 member nodes that are already on. We have 5 metadata schema that we're already scaled to. We're adding more as time goes by. And you'll see each of these has a metadata schema that they're using. We extract particular information and preserve that metadata, then harmonize it, much as they do at the Autism Center, and augment the metadata to bring it together to where it's findable. Then we have an internal metadata index so that when somebody's using the search API, they don't see everything that's happening on the back end. It's like going in the car and turning the key. You don't have to worry about the motor. You just know it's going to run. And then we have the various tools that people can use to interface with. One of the tools is our OneMercury, which is a search tool. It's based on a search tool that was begun in 98 at the DAC centers from NASA. We've developed that more, and it's a discovery tool that allows you to search areas or by keywords and pull out data sets that might match that, and then you can look at that. That then links you to where the data set lives. We also just released the OneR client. Yesterday it had a soft release, but yesterday it went public. And what's important about that is while R is a statistical program for analysis, this allows you to do your data search while you're in your statistical program, which greatly enhances the ability to do the science that you're trying to do, and it really improves the search process. The DMP tool, which has been built by many other people besides just Data One, but there are some Data One primary folks who have been involved with it as well. You might say, well, why does data management matter? Well, in the first session, we were hearing about how when NSF put in a data management plan, how that's kind of pushing people, and now without a plan, you won't even be considered. This is the point. If we can get at inception people thinking about the back end of people finding the data, it's going to make it much, much easier to do everything along the way. And much like the autism is doing with the data dictionaries, it's to try to get people to think about it in the front to increase access at the back. Data Up is a tool that allows people to use spreadsheets. In our research, one of the things that we've really done is a lot of assessments with our community of users to figure out what they're doing, what they need, and how to do it. And we've done it in a variety of ways. We've done surveys, we've done persona and scenario development, we've done usability testing. And what we found is that everybody's using spreadsheets. And although that isn't the best way to save your data, that's what everybody's doing. So Data Up is a tool to try to make spreadsheet usage more data friendly and better for the long term. On the bottom of this slide, you'll see there's a PLOS One article, Data Sharing by Scientists, Practices and Perceptions. And for some of the conversation that was going on earlier, that might be of interest because it talks about why people do or don't want to share their data and what we might do to inform that in the future. So just as an example, one of the ways that we were looking at how people access data is this group that was from the Cornell Ornithology, led by that group. We helped them figure out what data sets they wanted to do, and they pulled together a way to look and visualize the data. And by watching how they did the work of pulling data from all these different locations, you know, eBird, land cover data, meteorology data, MODIS data, which is all very, very heterogeneous and very difficult to bring together, it allowed us to see how they searched for it, what they were looking for, and to help devise some of the tools that we're building. We also have another working group that has been working on other kinds of data integration. And by watching how they do data staging and data subsetting, it helps us think about what we need to do to make it easier for people to access the data. And this is still a work in progress. And here's our final work in progress, which we hope to have a lot more about this next year, which is working on the semantics. In terms of improving precision, recall, and annotation. At the moment, we've been working on discovery in terms of locating data sets that you might not know were there, but now we're trying to refine that more. With that, I'd like to thank you. I invite you to look at the data1.org site because there you can get in and play with some of the data sets in terms of how, not that you're necessarily earth scientists, but just kind of see how we set up a search, what data sets are available, things of that sort, and my email in case you're interested.